Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio from Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. It's hard to believe it's mid-March. St. Patrick's Day celebration is right around the corner. And of course, last week's show, we had Bobby Steven for the Fun for Educate, and Monday night, this coming Monday, depending on whether you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, it's either tomorrow or 2 days from now, Bobby has his St. Patrick's Day celebration, which it raises money for scholarship dollars, and Bobby is great to the New Hampshire community. And this year, his event also raises money for Easter Seals New Hampshire, the Youth Transitional Service. So it was great interviewing Bobby last weekend. And in the spirit of the St. Patrick's Day celebration, with me today is Dr. Shannon Mills. And those of you know, Shannon's been with me now for several years at Northeast Delta Dental, a great colleague of mine, well-known national scientist, dental scientist, in fact, well-known internationally, makes a lot of trips internationally representing Northeast Delta Dental, does a great job. And one of the great things about Shannon, too, is that in addition to being a great employee colleague and a great dentist, he's also a great ambassador for the New Hampshire community. And speaking of the New Hampshire community, a number of you have asked me about the public exchange, healthcare.gov, and we have over 1,000 New Hampshire residents who have purchased and been able to navigate healthcare.gov and have purchased an individual dental product through the public exchange. So while certainly the Affordable Care Act has had its ups and downs, I think from our perspective, we've engaged it, and we've been able to provide more access to dental insurance for citizens who no longer had coverage through their employer. In addition, we have a private exchange called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, and over 3,000 individuals have been able to sign up on that private website. And so we have in total about 4,000 New Hampshire residents who I believe wouldn't have dental coverage were it not for the, if you will, the motivation of the Affordable Care Act and the fact that the Affordable Care Act makes the pediatric dental benefit a mandated benefit. I totally recognize the adult dental benefit is not mandated, but I think just raising the consciousness of oral health has been a good thing for society. Upcoming on March 27th at Gibson's, I will be with Dave Cowens, and at 7 o'clock at night. And Dave and I will be signing our book, There Are No Do-Overs. And in that book, which you can purchase on Amazon.com or the website BigRedFactor.com, I describe the approach that I just talked about on why Northeast Delta Dental, you know, was ready for the exchange. So, Dr. Mills, last week we had one of your colleagues, Dr. Richard Berryman, talk about dental x-rays and what are the quote-unquote standards. And of course, as you know, the answer to that is it depends, like a lot of things in dental science. And so I get a lot of great comments when I have you or your colleagues on. We've had Dr. Berryman on. We've had Dr. Correa on and so forth. So many of your colleagues come in from time to time, and we're able to sort of spread the oral health, and that's in addition to the other forum that we use this radio show for, which is to highlight our community partners, you know, such as Bobby Steven. So today's topic is on the basics of what exactly is gum disease. So let's start there.
Okay. I'm glad you asked, because it's clearly one of my favorite topics. But we talk about it a lot, and now we call it, dentists refer to it as periodontal disease. Now, that's Latin for around the teeth, but gum disease works just fine. I think we're all on a common ground if we call it that. What it is, it's a lot of people used to think when they're, you know, that it was just a normal part of aging. In fact, we used to talk about people getting long in the tooth as they aged because their gums receded, and that it was just something that happened to people. We know now that's not true. And today, more and more Americans are treated for or avoid the consequences of gum disease. And it's not uncommon now, people 70s, 80s, and even 90s to still have their natural teeth. But gum disease is the number one reason that older adults do lose their teeth. So what is it? It's a bacterial disease. It is actually an infection, but it isn't quite as simple as that, because what it is, it's the actual loss of the bone and supporting structures of the teeth comes about as a result of an overactive reaction of the body to the presence of those bacteria, and that's what actually causes the destruction. Now, that reaction is actually really variable across people. And so there's a certain genetic component to it. I've often said that, you know, how do I avoid gum disease, heart disease, tooth decay? Well, one of the best ways is to choose your parents properly. That means this facetious way of saying genetics plays a big role in it, but it's not everything. So
it's nature and nurture.
Let's talk
about that. But take a pause. And one of the things I'm always interested in hearing about is why this is sometimes known as the sort of silent oral health disease. I mean, obviously, if you have a toothache, you're aware of it. You probably know the triage has to be done and you go to the dentist. But sometimes gum disease is sometimes called the silent oral health disease. Tell us why that is.
Well, the reason is because in its earliest stages, it often presents with no symptoms that people think are unusual. A lot of people think it's normal for their gums to bleed when they brush their teeth. And that's one of the things that happen. Or it's normal to have a little bit of swelling around your teeth, a little bit of redness. And so while that's happening, in some people, that's, and this is the genetic part, in some people, that's all that happens. It doesn't get any worse than that. But for people, again, who react a little bit more aggressively to the presence of those bacteria, and of course also have the right kind of bacteria, that also matters, they get this destructive lesion. But it can actually get pretty severe before the worst things happen, which is the teeth begin to get loose. You start to see the gums separating from the teeth. You get a lot of bleeding, sometimes pus, or even an abscess associated with gum disease. Then it's pretty obvious you've got it. But for a lot of Americans, they have it in its early stages. They even have it in its moderate stages, but they don't know it yet.
In the couple minutes we have before commercial break, why don't you tell us what are some of the other warning signs, such as sores in your mouth? And then after the commercial break, we'll talk about some of the risk assessment tests that are out there.
Well, good point, Tom. And, you know, one of the other things that people have, there's many causes for bad breath, but one of the causes of persistent bad breath is periodontal disease. So again, you know, we talked about long in the tooth, starting to see the teeth pull away from the gums is another thing that can happen. Now, a dentist can check for these things and can actually look in the mouth and find out. There's another interesting thing, though, about this silent aspect of that. It is that smokers, because of the effect that nicotine has on the gums, are often harder to diagnose or even for them to know they have it, because the nicotine makes the blood vessels tighten up. So they don't get the bleeding and they don't get the swelling, but they still have the other destructive aspects of it. So that's another thing for people who smoke to keep in mind. They may think, well, I don't have any bleeding, I don't have any swelling, I must be okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that's so.
So how ironic is that? Smoking is bad enough to begin with, but now it also masks gum disease,
yeah,
it seems like.
It can.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us about this bad breath thing. Obviously, that's probably not good for your social life, but you're saying, well, bad breath may have many reasons, one of which could be gum disease.
Yeah, well, one of the things is many of these bacteria generate byproducts. They're the things they excrete, and a lot of these organic compounds are unpleasant. You know this. If you've left sardines or left something in the refrigerator a little long and you open it up, then you get an idea. That's bacteria. It's the same process. So when they start breaking down your gums, they also make these things that don't smell so good. That's one of the reasons. That isn't the only reason, by the way. It can be even more. By the way, long-term chronic bad breath can even have even more serious concerns. So we have to take this seriously if it's always there. And maybe have a physician and or a dentist take a look at it.
Now, you and I have an expression. We like to be part of the solution if we're identifying a problem. Mm-hmm. So after commercial break, we'll talk about the risk assessment test as well as links between gum disease and diabetes.
Okay, great.
Dr. Shannon Mills and Tom Raphael will return after commercial message. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Lisa, your Delta Dental Benefits rep. Any questions today?
How long should I brush my teeth for?
2 minutes.
Why should I visit the dentist?
Professional preventative care promotes good oral health.
What's the most popular color of toothbrush?
Blue.
She's good.
As the most experienced dental benefits company, Delta Dental delivers unmatched local service. So enrollees feel taken care of every time.
Visit Northeast Delta Dental at nedelta.com.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio, and with me this mid-March weekend is Dr. Shannon Mills, who's our Vice President of Professional Relations and Science, athlete and scholar, all-around great employee colleague at Northeast Delta Dental. But before I get back to Shannon, and Shannon will be talking about the links between gum disease and diabetes, as well as talk about a personal oral health risk assessment that he helped design. For my racing friends, don't forget the upcoming, of course, with in the spirit of the season, we have various Shamrock Shuffles out there. There's one in Lebanon, and then, of course, there's one that John Mortimer puts on, and that's in Manchester, and Northeast Delta Dental is one of the sponsors. I mentioned a couple of websites earlier in the show, one being Delta Dental Covers Me. .com, and that's a way for you as an individual citizen to purchase an individual dental product without having to navigate the public exchange. There's one other website I want to mention, and that's the bigredfactor.com. So if you're interested in the book that I co-authored with Dave Cowens, that'll give you an opportunity to do a preview of the book, and then you can either go down to Ibsen's on Main Street or purchase it on Amazon.com. And back to my running friends, it's getting close to the Capital Area Race Series, and don't forget that's a series of seven races that begins in Gilmington on Saturday, March 29th. And Shannon, I bet you didn't know this, but Gilmington was actually the source for the famous TV show Peyton Place. It's kind of tore the Gilmington community apart for a little while there, but there are seven races that begin in Gilmington on Saturday, March 29th. Going all the way through to the famous Canterbury Woodchuck Classic on July 26th, also including the second longest running race in New Hampshire, and that's the Bill Luty 5-miler, and that's on Saturday, July 19th. And I think, Shannon, you know this, but the longest running road race in New Hampshire is the Mount Washington Road Race, which we sponsor. So if you want to do those seven races at a cost of only $105, you can register on CapitalAreaRaceSeries.com. Okay, back to the subject at hand. So, Shannon, tell us before we get into, I guess, the risk assessment, I think let's start with the links between gum disease and diabetes. And offline, you were telling me some really interesting things. So I think feel free to take your time and kind of be expansive in your answer on this.
Okay. Well, you know, Mark Twain, as you may recall, talked about lies, damned lies, and statistics.
He did.
But I am going to throw out a few statistics that I think our listeners might find interesting. In the United States today, roughly 25.8 million people suffer from diabetes. There are several different kinds of diabetes. That's about 8.3% of the U.S. population. Last year, the Centers for Disease Control let us know, interesting statistic, that roughly 50% of persons over the age of 30 in the United States have some form of gum disease. Now, of that number, about 8.5% have severe gum disease with significant bone loss. Other folks have early signs of it, and it's very, very much on an age-related gradient. The older you get, the greater the risk. By the way, that same thing is exactly true for diabetes. Very quickly, there are two big kinds of diabetes that are chronic. One of them is type 1 diabetes. That's usually in younger people who lose the ability to make insulin from their pancreas. Okay, that's the traditional juvenile, that we used to call juvenile diabetes. Type 2 is more of an adult onset. They're still making insulin, but the body becomes resistant to using it. And insulin is a hormone that helps the body regulate blood sugar. And that's why the most important measurement of diabetes in looking at the effects of diabetes in terms of blood tests is measuring the blood sugar either directly through, measuring it in the blood direct as a number micrograms or in the blood, or looking at a marker called hemoglobin A1C. That's the quick primer on diabetes. Now, what we know now is, and we've actually had some understanding of it for a long time, is that diabetes has a relationship with periodontal disease. And the best known part of this is if you are diabetic, either type 1 or type 2, but especially type 2, you're going to be at greater risk for gum disease. So that means as a diabetic, one of the things you need to be doing in addition to all the other things that you're doing, and those of you listeners that are diabetic understand what I'm talking about. You've got to be watching your diet. You've got to exercise. You've got to take your medications judiciously. Those are all important. But the other piece of it is you need to be getting evaluated for gum disease and get the right kind of care you need to keep it from making your blood sugar management harder, but also making it more likely that you'll have complications of gum disease, losing teeth, developing abscesses, and so forth.
So conversely, having gum disease, does it make it more likely that you will develop diabetes? And before you answer this, I wanted to put a plug in for the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. They were kind enough, because of this relationship with oral health and some of the other things I'm doing in the community. In May, they're recognizing me in an award process. But anytime I get something like that, I always want to make sure I totally understand the topic. So I've been really studying this, and I think you did a great job of explaining, you know, type 1 and type 2 diabetes. But back to the question, does having gum disease make it more likely that a person will develop diabetes?
Okay. Not necessarily. There's no direct cause and effect. There's no evidence that gum disease causes diabetes or increases the likelihood that you'll get it. But there is an association. So people with gum disease are more likely to have diabetes, and to some extent the other's true, but whether that's not due to causation necessarily. But what it does do is, having any kind of an infection, gum infection, scalp infection, any kind of systemic infection, does make it harder to manage blood glucose. It tends to raise the glucose levels in the blood. So because of that, treating it should make things better. And not having periodontal disease likewise should be make it easier to manage blood sugar. So that's long been the thought that we had in mind, and why this relationship was important. Again, it's also important, I have to remind you, it's also important because diabetics are more likely to have complications in their teeth due to the effects of the diabetes as well.
So someone with diabetes, I mean, should they get typical dental plans, as you know, and I know this isn't based on evidence-based, but have two cleanings a year. So someone with diabetes, should they get more than two cleanings a year?
Yeah, in many cases. Now, this is up to the judgment of the dentist, the general dentist, or the periodontist that's managing them, helping them manage their periodontal disease. But in many cases, they may in fact need more cleanings. They also, if they've had a non-surgical periodontal treatment or a surgical periodontal treatment, they may need a treatment called periodontal maintenance. And typically, people who need that need it often more than twice a year. Now, standard benefits typically only cover it twice a year. And, you know, this is the way the design, this is the plan design has been around for a long time. But when your dentist tells you, you know, I need to get you in for another visit for you to be healthy, seriously consider it. You know, dental insurance doesn't cover everything. It's designed to help people get dental care, not necessarily, you know, to cover every bit of dental care that you may need.
And if we have time towards the end of our program, we'll talk about the exciting Health Through Oral Wellness program design that we're in the emerging stages, which in that situation you described, you would be entitled to the third or fourth cleaning. So in terms of oral health risk assessment, why don't you talk about mydentalscore.com and how that fits into the equation here?
Okay. Well, we've been working with a company called Provisor, which has developed the world's leading periodontal risk assessment tool. It's an online tool. And I think you probably, if you're a regular listener, you know I've talked about it before. And their tool for you to go on and evaluate your oral health is called mydentalscore.com. Now, you can go directly to that site, or you can go to anydelta.com, northeastdeltadental.com, and we have a different version of the risk assessment tool on our website. You'll see it right on the front page toward the bottom where it says know your numbers or, you know, find your score, and you can do that. I think it's a very useful tool, because for those people who don't have real obvious symptoms, this test can give you a better indication of what your risk is. It may mean if you haven't been into the dentist to get checked, it's time to go in and have a look-see, have a periodontal evaluation done. And don't be afraid to ask your dentist or hygienist directly, do I have periodontal disease? Do I have gum disease? Can you tell me? Or do you think I may have risk for gum disease, and help develop a treatment plan to help you going forward if you don't have it, not to get it?
So the process sounds pretty simple. I would go on mydentalscore.com, either the generic one or through Northeast Delta Dental. Probably take me 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to complete it. And then I walk into my dental office and either give my dentist or hygienist the sheet of paper, which gives them additional data points. Is that
pretty much it? I think it can be helpful to the office, and because they'll take a look at it and they'll be able to. It's a, you know what it is? It's a conversation starter. By the way, this is not a diagnostic tool. We're not making a diagnosis of any condition, tooth decay, gum disease, there's a risk assessment for oral cancer. In no ways is any of this diagnostic. It's just collecting data to suggest you may or may not have greater risk. And for that, it's really an educational tool. And it's designed to, again, create that conversation between you and your dentist to find the right mix of preventive and treatment that you need to stay healthy and avoid problems with diabetes and avoid problems with heart disease and avoid problems with stroke and potentially problems with pregnancy that are all known to have associations with gum disease.
I like the way you put that. It's an educational tool. It enhances the conversation between the patient and the dentist or hygienist, and it's more data points, you know, for the dentist when he or she is doing the exam. So we have a few more minutes. What can I do to avoid getting gum disease?
Well, again, it goes back to my little comment. You know, first thing is your genetics are going to give you some level of predisposition one way or the other to getting the disease.
Well, knowing you can't pick your parents, though, what else can I do?
But going beyond that, well, you know what? What your dentist and hygienist have been saying to you forever and ever and ever is still true. Brush and floss. Brushing and flossing, removing the plaque load every day or more than once a day, but at least once a day is very important because the plaque that is the bacteria I talked about, it's also called biofilm. It matures over time. It's kind of like, you know, you clear cut a field and then a forest grows back, starts out with certain plants, and then it progresses. Well, the longer the plaque is there, the more the type of bacteria change, and sometimes the more destructive they become. So clearing up and breaking that plaque mass or that biofilm up on a regular basis, we think at least daily is a good plan, can help you avoid some of those effects. Another thing is, and you're going to hear me say this over and over again, if you smoke, stop smoking, because that is this one of the those are the two most important controllable risk factors. But the other thing is to see your dentist, because some of the early signs are not going to be apparent to you. Your dentist can help you identify early signs, and there are treatments that can help you prevent the disease from becoming destructive and ending up in things like gum abscesses or tooth loss.
So a lot of this, prior shows, a lot of this is sort of things we've been hearing from our dentists for years and common sense, obviously brushing and flossing between your visits, going to the dentist. And of course, a few shows ago, we had the 10 resolutions for better oral health in 2014, and that's posted on the Northeast Delta Dental website. But also, if you go to the Northeast Delta Dental website and look at the podcast, you can hear the show that Dr. Mills did and I on those 10 resolutions. And so much of that is common sense, brushing and flossing, see your dentist, quit smoking, and so forth. So I want to, again, reinforce those 10 resolutions. Give me 15 to 20 seconds on each of the next quick topics. Okay, UNE Dental School, it's up and running. They have 64 dental school students, in the first class, six or seven kids from New Hampshire, or students from New Hampshire. Going well?
It's going very well, and they're going to be finishing up their preclinical work soon, and then look for a UNE dental student sometime soon, perhaps in a clinic near you.
Perfect.
Because they're going to be doing a lot of their clinical work out in the community, which we think is a great way to train dental students.
Exactly. And I visited them, and my God, these young men and women are very, very impressive. Okay, 30 seconds or 15 seconds on the saliva study.
Well, the saliva study continues. They've actually finished their preparation at one of the large Midwestern universities, and I think I'm allowed to say now that it's Ohio State, and they're going to go forward with a clinical trial that involves looking forward to see if a large group, if the test that we've developed for looking for tooth decay in children will predict their experience. Again, we look backwards. This study will take a larger group of kids and look forward and see how they progress over time after their initial evaluation. This should be the gold standard test to see if this works.
And speaking of tests, this is going to be a test for you. In 30 seconds, can you tell us the health through oral wellness, the HOW program, so-called, that we're in the emerging stage. So tease the listening audience on that in 30 seconds.
Well, you heard me say earlier that sometimes the benefit plan doesn't cover all the services you need. We recognize that as being an issue we needed to look at. And what we've developed is a systematic way to take the individual risk of patients and provide those patients that have greater risk for gum disease, tooth decay, particularly, the opportunity to get additional benefits that are matched to their needs. So to do this, we had to develop a technology platform that lets us use healthcare informatics to automate the system, because otherwise the process becomes very burdensome.
So we'll look
for more information as we go forward.
More on that in future shows. And I love when you use big words like informatics. So next week, we have Mike Ramshaw, Vice President of New Hampshire Fisher Cats, and we'll be talking about the Oral Health Challenge, because that's underway now, and kids that brush and floss in between visits earn tickets to the Fisher Cats. We're running out of time, Dr. Mills. Thank you. We'll have you back. You're always entertaining, but more importantly, very knowledgeable. For Dr. Mills, Tom Raffio, Northeast Delta Dental, return next weekend.